Phil was just commenting about his hair and his daughter doing his hair. Well, my wife does mine. And yesterday I had long flowing locks like Fabio today. In actual fact, it takes about 30 minutes to clean up the hair off the floor because it's really hard to find that one that goes under the mat. But anyway, I'm glad you're out tonight. Thank you for coming out. We're going to have a look at something tonight. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We're going to read verse 31 to verse 34. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to help us tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being in church tonight. Thank you for each one who's here. Let's pray you'll please just use the word of God and the thoughts of my heart to be able to convey the truth in the right way and in love. Please help me as I need it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get started, I'm going to tonight share some things with you of a very personal nature. So I'm pre-warning you that you may receive what I say in the right spirit. And I'll just leave it at that. You'll understand when we get to it. The life of Peter is certainly an amazing one. From someone who being a fisherman to someone who was one of Jesus's right men is something extraordinary. We could preach a whole sermon about how God uses people who diligently go about their everyday life and use them in wonderful ways. And in some respects, I think I'm glad God does that. I'm glad he doesn't find the most educated or the most talented, but he seems to find people who are willing and then use them for his purposes. Have you ever thought about putting yourself in Peter's shoes and imagine what things may have been like in his life, especially going from what he was, a fisherman, to becoming one of the disciples of Jesus. If you were to look through the Gospels, you'll see that Peter was an accomplished fisherman who was found by Jesus working hard at his occupation. We see that in Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22. I think Peter was a hard worker, and I don't think he was ever found to be lazy. In Luke chapter 5, we see an interaction with Jesus and Peter that Jesus wanted Peter to launch out again, and he said, "Look, I've been out all night, and I've been fishing, and we haven't caught anything." So I think the very fact, just in that sort of passage alone, Peter is found to be someone who is very diligent and I would think probably not lazy. Peter was a man full of passion for getting things done, and he often jumped into things. Peter immediately left his occupation and followed Jesus. He didn't stop and get his affairs in order. The Bible just says immediately he left his nets and he followed Jesus. Peter was the one who was quite eager to walk out onto the water when Jesus came walking on the water. Peter was the one who wanted to defend Jesus in the garden when the soldiers come to take him away. We see over in more than one occasion, Peter was eager to open his mouth and often spoke before thinking. This often reflected that Peter had confidence in his own strength. Peter seemed to have a genuine love for Jesus, and wanted nothing more than to follow Christ and do what Jesus wanted him to do. In verse 33 of our short text this evening, Peter was the one that said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He was passionate, he was willing, he was eager. I think you would say we would all love to have certain individuals in our church who was like that. Someone who was keen to get things done, who not afraid of some hard work, who's not afraid to go out. When there's a situation that needs someone to be bold to step out, we would love to have people like that. And Peter was like that. With a clearer picture of the type of man that Peter was, we find him now with Jesus and the other disciples in an upper room and observing the Passover in the passage before where we just read. It was Peter and John that was given responsibility to organise this for Jesus. So he was someone who was able to be given some responsibility. We find that through this time of Passover and through the conversations and thoughts and intents of the disciples' heart, that Jesus reveals two things. Number one, that someone would betray Jesus, and we know that that was going to end up being Judas, and that somebody would deny Christ, and we find out in verse 34 that Jesus clearly says, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. A big, bold statement for someone who's so passionate about serving, so passionate about doing something for Jesus. You've just been told that you're going to deny me. I can probably see as the Passover happened and as Jesus started to reveal what was going to happen, if you put yourself in that situation, I can probably see Peter's disdain that someone would betray Jesus. Jesus says, one of you are going to betray me. And I'm sure they're like, what? I think the Bible actually says they started to question among themselves, who is going to be this person? And I think this probably led into the thought from verse 24, where it says, there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. I'm sure they probably said, who's he talking about? It's not going to be me. I would never betray Jesus like that. Well, it's not going to be me because I'm going to be one of the greatest disciples. And I'm sure there was maybe conversations like that going on. And then, as we've already read in verse 33, Peter has this bold statement. It says, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Before verse 33, Jesus tells Peter this statement. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I'm sure you've read that. I've never really ever heard anyone preach on this, but I've heard it, I've read it, I've seen it, but never really taken much thought on it. The very thought of being sifted by Satan is a very daunting one, and for some, they may end up being sifted without even realising it. Reference, there is a reference made by one of the books that was originally counted in the Bible, in the Apocrypha, and it was taken out around King James time. I just want to make reference to it because the passage really speaks very well about what happens when someone is about to be sifted. Verse 1 of it's a very confusing book. When I read it, I thought it was part of the Bible. It was called Ecclesiasticus instead of Ecclesiastes. But verse 1 says, of chapter 2, it says, my son, if thou come to serve the Lord, and I think Peter was that person who was willing to serve the Lord, it says, prepare thy soul for temptation. I want you to understand that if you want to serve the Lord and you say, God, whatever you want me to do, I don't know if you've ever prayed that, but if you say, God, I'm serious about serving you, what you need to understand or be prepared for is that some temptation may come. Things may be around the corner that you're not ready for. Things may be around the corner that you may not even be, you may not even exist. You may not even know that will exist. Just over 2 years ago, during a missions conference, I felt the Lord said to me, I want you to go into full-time ministry. And I've felt this sort of prompting for many years, and had always said, no, it can't be me. No, I'm not good enough. No, I don't know enough. No, I don't like people enough. Any excuse I could find. And then I finally had said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, you're going to have to really show me that's what you want, but I will surrender to do that. So I kind of felt like I'd become like Peter. I'm willing to serve the Lord. Now, the verse that I just read from Ecclesiasticus, it says, my son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thyself for temptation. I wish someone had revealed that to me, because over the last 2 years, I've felt that I've gone through some sifting, and I'll explain some things about that, because when the Bible says strengthen the brethren, that's what I want to do tonight, is strengthen the brethren. There are three things I want to look at with sifting. Firstly, the purpose of sifting. Why does God allow sifting to happen? If it's from Satan, why would God allow someone who wants to serve him go through an event or a series of events that may be hard or may be difficult? I think when it comes to purpose of sifting, there's a twofold purpose here. Firstly, Satan has a purpose for it. We know in the book of Job, when Satan and God had a conversation, that Satan was given the opportunity to tempt Job and to do things to Job. Satan's purpose is to separate the believer from his faith. I think there may be people who go through some things who don't come out the other side strengthened and can live to tell the story or can live their faith out. I believe there are some Christians who may get sifted by Satan who come out worse than when they come in. Sorry. Satan wants to do that. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that Satan is continually seeking whom he may devour. It's interesting that Peter was the one that penned that. He'd learned that over time, and we'll look at that a little bit later. The idea of sifting uses the picture of grain in a sieve. So it's gone through a straining process, and the purpose is to reveal the good grain and all the bad things, or things that aren't supposed to be used. They're all done away. They've gone through the sieve and they are taken away. God's purpose is to separate the impure things of the Christian's life so he can be stronger, he can have things revealed, he can grow, he can be set aside. And all in all, I think that's exactly what God did with me. Through the sifting process, God revealed some things in me that I was not glad that were there. There were some things that God revealed that I was utterly embarrassed and ashamed of, emotions and feelings and attitudes that were there. God's purposes are good, and even though when you go through it, you may not even know God's doing it, but when you realize it, you can give God all the glory. In Job 23:10, I'll read a couple of verses that kind of indicate this. Job 23, verse 10. This is Job who had gone through so much. It says, but he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. And that's that reference to that God allowing some things to happen. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God never allows things, whether it's Satan or himself, where things are a struggle or painful or low areas where we go through. It's never just to hurt us. It's to bring forth the good to the out of the top, and the things that we don't even realise are there are made manifest, and then the idea as the sieve is supposed to be gotten, it's supposed to be done away with. And then 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. So we think about Peter, who was very impulsive, was very on fire. He's gone through this process where he does deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And then later on in life, verse 6 and 7, it says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. He's possibly reliving and rethinking about what he's gone through. Then he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Even Peter realises there are some things that are there for God's purposes. God wants to reveal in us the things that are holding us back. We can make the choice to surrender to those things, and which will make us more ready to be used. So God reveals it, we deal with it, and then we can move on. Now, the second part of this is probably the hardest for me to preach, because I'm going to share some things, and I hope you take it in the right manner, because I'm going to reveal some things that I went through that I guess even with a parallel to what Peter went through. In Luke 22, if we look at verse 54, as we go through the actual account where Peter denies Jesus, says verse 54 says, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed far off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. I'll pause it just there for a second. The first thing, this is the progression of sifting. There was a purpose of sifting. This is the progression of sifting. Satan is often subtle and methodical when he does this. The first thing I want you to understand is there's discouragement. Satan will use discouragement. When we read verse 54, it says, when they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, Peter followed afar off. I want you to think about this. Peter was with Jesus for several years now and had been by his side and had maybe some expectations of what is going to happen. And all of a sudden, Jesus has been taken away and they're leading him away. The other disciples seem to disappear for a bit, but Peter, he follows afar off. And to me, that kind of shows a little bit of what is going on? This is not what I expected. And when our expectations don't get met, we can get easily discouraged. Peter wasn't sure exactly what was going on. This is not how he envisaged or how he planned his life with Jesus and what Jesus was going to get him to do and how he was going to serve Jesus. And when I said a couple of years ago to the Lord that scripture, I would surrender if that's what you wanted, and I felt like that God had confirmed that with some scripture, and I'd prayed with pastor about it, and we both agreed that this is probably what God wants. Very quickly I found that nothing happened. My expectations of, okay, I'm going to go into the ministry, I'm going to serve, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and God's called me, and I had a little bit of excitement about it, and I was thinking, you know, I hadn't felt this before, and then week after week and month after month went, and really, nothing really stood out. There were no engagements. There was no one beating down the door. Yes, we'll have Paul as pastor, and I got a little bit discouraged. That was the first step. That was the first step in the progression. I was a little bit discouraged and thinking my expectations of what God was going to get me to do just didn't get met. And there was this a little bit discouraged. And as I think about Peter, as he's following afar off, thinking, what is going on? I kind of think Peter may have been just a little bit discouraged, thinking, this is not what I thought. Why is this? So sifting doesn't always have to be something really bad at the beginning. It can be just something very subtle. And Satan is the master of bringing things very subtly. Have you ever had your expectations not met? Maybe you were planning to go to a restaurant and you're really excited about it and you've been thinking about it all week and you get there and maybe it's a big fancy restaurant in the city and they bring out this giant plate with this tiny little bit of meat and a bit of capsicum or something on it. You think, oh, that's not what I expected. It tastes all right, but a bit discouraged. We might go on holidays. You've been planning, and it's always about the expectation. Our expectation, when it's not met, you plan to go on holiday, and you save, and you dream, and you plan what you're going to do. And then when you get there, it's raining, and the things that you wanted to do are closed. You think, oh, discouraged. Everybody gets discouraged. But it is part of Satan's process or the progression of sifting. This seems to be one of Satan's key objectives and probably the easiest to work with because we're all prone to discouragement. Every single one of us, whether you're being sifted or not, each one of us can get discouraged. But then as we read on, it says verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. The next thing is, as I read through this, and please give me a little bit of liberty in how I explain this. Verse 55, he's been afar off. He saw some people in the midst, around a fire, in the midst of the hall, and it says, they were set down together. So Peter went and sat down beside them. He sat amongst them. And don't forget, Peter's been with Jesus for the last 2 to 3 years, and he's done what Jesus has wanted. He's been out preaching. He's been out whatever things that Jesus had required him to do, he went out and done it. He was out serving. He may have been amongst people, but he was out there serving for a purpose. And then all of a sudden, now because of what's happened, he's got a little bit discouraged. And I know Peter's sifting was in the form of a night, and mine was over a long period of time. But in this instance, I think Peter showed a little bit of discomfort because he's not normally sitting amongst people who are just in a fire and never maybe bringing up a conversation about Jesus or maybe trying to witness to them or trying to meet a need as when he was with Jesus. And now he's in an uncomfortable situation. He finds himself seated at the fire. And the second progression that I found was when I started to get discouraged after what I felt God called me to do, Satan started to bring a little bit of discomfort within the local church. I have to tell you, during 2024 and probably 2023, it started, there was some discomfort for me here in church. Some of you may have seen it. Some of you may have experienced it, that Paul was not his normal self. But there were times where I kind of started to feel disconnected from this church. And I even talked to Pastor about it, and I thought, maybe this is God doing this, so when I do eventually go into ministry, it won't be so hard leaving. I started to rationalize things. Maybe this is a good thing. But I think Satan was working a little bit of discomfort. The discouragement was already there. Things are not happening. I don't know what I'm doing. Like I'm supposed to be going somewhere. I'm supposed to be serving the Lord. And now I'm just doing church and I'm doing work. And then there was a disconnect between myself and the people of this church. And it wasn't because you did anything wrong. And it wasn't because you were negative to me. It wasn't because you had acted in any way different to me. It was just that my heart had started to become a little bit discomforted, and I'll use the word disconnected. I don't know whether you've been in a place where you're not comfortable, When you're not comfortable with something, the last thing you want to do is stay in it. Maybe you're with a group of workmates and they start to talk vile. You don't want to stay in it, you want to get out of it because it's uncomfortable. It's not what you're supposed to do. There may be situations where you don't feel comfortable being in, and your first reaction is to, I shouldn't be here, or I don't want to be here, so we want to retreat, we want to go somewhere else. And that's exactly what I went through. There was some discomfort showed. He wants a sense of discomfort in the Christian life, and especially if you want to serve him. You should have seen the roller coaster of emotions, roller coaster of thoughts that went in my head. It was frightening. This next one is the one I'm most fearful of saying, is eventually Peter, let's continue through the passage. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, it says they were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him, and as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with him. And then verse 57 says, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. So Peter's already now denied Christ once. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. The next thought is, Peter had already denied Christ once, and then someone else come along and out comes another denial. Do you think that's strange? When you think about Peter and he's wanting to serve the Lord, he's just denied. I would have thought normally if we had just denied Christ, there would have been a bit of guilt and shame. I shouldn't have done that. But he's gone out and done it again. And I think at this particular stage, Peter's a little bit delusioned. He's a little bit delusional. There's some delusionment going on. His thinking is now very distorted about Christ. Satan is the master of telling lies that we quickly believe. And there was one instance here in church that happened, and it wasn't... It's hard to explain, but I'll just say what it was. When we went to choose our deacons for our church originally, the five deacons, I asked Pastor about this and he said it was fine to share. When the five deacons were nominated and the church went to vote, even though I knew the facts that because I'd said I was going to serve the Lord somewhere else, when the deacons were nominated and voted on, not once was my name mentioned. And I was under some delusion. And I left church here angry and mad. And there was a progression of things. Now, as I said, it's not anyone's fault, and I hope you take my openness not as, why did he think that? But it's what happened. It was a progression in my life. I knew the facts were, this is how I explain it, I knew A, B, C, and D, that's what happened. But my head read E, F, G, and H. I think that's the next one. I didn't think clearly, and I was in a very, very, very bad way. And I'm only about halfway through what was going on in my life. Please don't get me wrong. I know I'm sounding like someone who is whinging. But Satan said on that night, your church does not care for you. Your church thinks nothing of you. And this is... I'm just being honest and real. Satan said, you've been here 20 years, you weren't even thought of. I was under some disillusionment. Satan had worked a very clear path to lead me to a place where I didn't want to be. And that night it revealed some things. The fact that I got angry, the fact that my poor family saw that, I was very upset. But it was just a progression of sifting. But it doesn't stop there. As we read through verse 59, it says, "In about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately while he spake, the cock crew." When you read through some of the other gospel accounts of this, the Bible says that Peter started to swear and curse, and he was now beside himself. And I call this despair. Peter was not in his right mind. He's denied Christ once and thought nothing of it. He was a bit confused. He was very discouraged. Second person approaches, and he's now not even thinking straight. He's now very deluded, and I don't know Jesus. And then in the other accounts, when the third person comes, he's now just lost his mind. He's in despair, and he says, "Look, I don't know him." And in the swearing and in the cursing, you can only imagine how he's feeling and what he's thinking. His mind is not in his right mind. He's just lost it. In the course of last year, one of the things I decided to do, well, if I'm not going to go into ministry, nothing's happening, at least I've got my work, I've got my business, and I'll sink my teeth into it and we'll grow it. And with the encouragement of the head franchisor, we'll make some plans, we'll do this, we'll do that. And one of the things they wanted us to do was to look to expand our sales. And so they said, let's encourage you to bring on a salesperson, which I did, which ended up being not a very good move. Or maybe I'm just not good with employees. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But at the end of last year, we had a business conference over in America. We had prepaid for a lot of the things, and then when we went to go, money was very tight. I had to borrow money from family to go. But while we were there in the hotel room, we were getting ready to have our awards dinner, and I looked at my bank account and it was negative. First time I'd ever got to where the business itself had no money, and I'm overseas, and I just broke down in despair. And I just kind of felt like Peter. I just didn't know what was going on. And I said to Laura, I said, "I don't want to be here anymore." When Satan sifts, it can be very strange and very dark places. For those of you who know me, when I got back, we headed into December and we headed into carols, and I was in a place where I hated myself. My thinking was completely gone. I thought, how could God love me if I didn't love me? Trying to do carols, I'm sitting there 20 minutes before we started, and I'm just having no idea how I'm going to do it. And then through January and December of this year, I'd spoke to a few people, and I was at the end of myself. I had said, I'm not thinking about hurting myself, but all the time I was. Because I was in despair. I'd come to church on a Sunday morning and it'd get worse. It was like a black hole sitting in church. Didn't want to talk to anyone. Just doing the motions of church. But I'm glad I did, because it was one of the times, the last time that I was, the pastor was preaching, and he was preaching about Jesus in the synagogues. And he made a statement, from what I can remember, that even in church, spiritual attacks can come. And as soon as I heard that, it was like God had said, this is what you're going through. Because I was sitting there thinking, I don't know how more I can do this. I don't know how long I can keep going. I have no idea what's going on. There was just black. I was at the end. And I thought, I do not know why, what's happening. And the moment he said that, and it's like God said, this is what's happening, everything lifted. And instantly I felt like I was 2 years before. There was no darkness. I was back to me. And I thought I was just, at the time, I thought I was just going through some mental health problems and depression, and I was on some medication and nothing was working. But I kid you not, in an instant, obviously for Peter, when he saw Jesus, instantly he knew what had happened. For Peter, he was forewarned what was going to happen. I'm thankful to God that he revealed what was happening. As far as I'm concerned, that's exactly what happened. But I want to finish with a positive note. There was the purpose of sifting, the progression of sifting, but then the end product of sifting. What happens when you go through something and you do come out the other end? It isn't just I didn't enjoy going through that. I'm glad I'm through it. It's not just that, but there's got to be a reason for it. One of the things we didn't touch on before, but I will mention it because it's very important. Back in verse 32 of Luke 22, Jesus says to Peter, after he just said, look, Satan's desired to have you, he's going to sift you as wheat. He says, look, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. One of the things I want you to understand, that if you go through something, whether it's as deep as what I went through or God allows you to go through something, understand God has your back. God's not doing it to hurt you. He's not doing it to in spite of you. But he's doing it because he has a reason for allowing it. And he says to Peter, says, look, I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail not. I don't want you to fail. It's not there to trip you up. It's there to reveal some things. So when you're strengthened, when you're converted, when you go through it, you can really see what the real you is. And that's the hard thing. Believe it or not, that's equally as hard as going through it. Is when you realize what God's shown you and you think, that's me. It's hard to go through that. Thankfully, we have someone who prays for us, that we don't fail. And then he says, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, the whole product for Peter was that Peter was very self-confident, very self-reliant. I can do this. I can do this. Let's jump in. Let's do it. And God said, whoa, you need to slow down. I'm going to have to take you through something to show you that it's not all about you. It's not all about what you can do. But when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. When you look in the book of Acts, after Peter's denied Christ 3 times, you've seen him, he's realized... He weeps bitterly, the Bible says. Jesus is crucified. He sees Jesus. They go through the time after that. But then when you get into Acts, the man who denied Jesus Christ that he never didn't even know who he was. You see Peter now standing boldly before men, proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. He's now doing something that he now can do because God's shown him. It can't be in his own strength, but it's got to be in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's really a product for it. Now, for me, I don't know exactly what God will have for me or what he wants. I'm not at that stage yet. I'm thankful for me. I feel like the sifting's finished. Let's just finish with 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Think about Peter before the crucifixion. He's had to go through this because there's some things he needs to be revealed. From someone like that to someone who's now been able to pen this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I think he probably penned that because he's realised Satan wanted to get me. Jesus said Satan has desired me. So he's kind of learnt that lesson. Whoa. And remember, Jesus says, when you're converted, strengthen, start teaching, let people know about it. So he goes on there, he says, Satan's out there as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Then it goes on to say, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, after that you've gone through some things, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You've got someone who was very impulsive, full of himself, quick to jump in, quick to speak, gone through some sifting, and you've got a man who's now is willing to stand before men and faithfully proclaim God's name no matter what, and then he's able to be fully matured and say, "Hey, people, look, some of us, you may go through some things because Satan, as a roaring lion, walked about seeking whom he may devour." He's real. And I want you to know, we often use that as like a, not a fairy tale or a, yeah, we know, but he's real. And most of the times we don't even know what's happening. I had no idea what was happening. I honestly thought I was having a mental breakdown. I was ready to be committed because I just didn't know what was going on. But Satan is real. And I guess it's taken a couple of months to really put this together because I didn't even know how to start. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to present it. But all I do know is that the Bible says that I'm supposed to strengthen the brethren, supposed to share it. Now, I do apologise if I shared some things that maybe made you uncomfortable or maybe made you view me in a different way, and I apologise for that. But hope God will use that in some way. And if God allows you to go through something in your life, I encourage you to, can I read to you what this other passage said? Because this really encouraged me. This is Ecclesiasticus. It's not part of the Bible. It said, "My son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation. Set thy heart aright, constantly endure, and make not haste in time of trouble. Cleave unto him and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully, and be patient when thou art changed to a lower state. For gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. Believe in him, he will help thee, order thy way aright, and trust in him. I know it's not Bible, but there's some good thoughts, that there's some things to take and apply, and may God use that tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and then Tim, I have no idea what to close with, so you can decide. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts. I pray that it would be received in the manner it was meant. May the verses we looked at and the life of Peter stand boldly before us all, that even one of the mightiest men of the Bible even went through some things that I probably don't know if we would be able to. Please help me in whatever you want me to do, but please make it clear. Help our church. I didn't get to say, Lord, but I love my church and I love my members. So please knit us strong together as we go forward and as we move forward. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.